May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm both preaching and presiding today because Margaret has this frightful allergy which is kind of hitting her voice. She hasn't got one, or she used it up just now anyway. So I stand before you as a man consumed by one of the seven deadly sins. I'm not going to ask you to guess which one. I'll just let it out of the bag. I am a man consumed with envy. I'm consumed with envy. I am full of envy for my son who is traveling through the British Isles right now and keeps FaceTiming me in kind of glorious parts of England. Hey, Dad, I'm just at the pub. Hey, Dad, I'm just at this great church you told me all about. So I'm feeling envious of him. I'm also continuing to feel really envious of our assistant rector, Kat Healy, who's also in Britain right now at this at Canterbury Cathedral doing this wonderful course with other newly ordained people from throughout the Anglican Communion. And as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, not only will she be meeting people from lots of different places, she'll also be meeting people with a really wide range of theological perspectives. And I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about how within the Church of England, the church I was ordained in, you know, we have both evangelicals who are more evangelical than the evangelicals, and we have Catholics who are way more Catholic than the Pope, and then you have people like us, the traditionalists, caught in the middle somewhere. And I was thinking about this different theological perspective as I thought about our gospel reading today, in which we hear Jesus at the end of that gospel reading commanding his disciples to go out into the world and to spread the gospel by deed. He talks about doing what we would call outreach, healing and bringing God's presence. But if you read on a few more verses in that passage, or the passage we didn't actually hear, in fact, we could have doubled the length of the gospel today. There was an option to read another bit of the gospel equally as long, but I cut that out. But in that part of the gospel, we hear Jesus not only tell his disciples to go into the world to spread the gospel through their deeds, but also through their words, through sharing the gospel, through preaching and telling people about the good news of Christ. And in the Church of England, well, certainly, you know, when I was there 10, 12 years ago, there was a real battle between the evangelical wing and the traditionalist wing, people like us, about how we go about doing evangelism. So the evangelical said, you know, we are sent out into the world to tell people all about Jesus, with a strong emphasis on sharing of faith, of proclamation, of really letting people know about the difference Christ has made in their lives and letting people know all about that. Whereas the traditional wing, the wing that I come from and the wing that this church represents, we were a little kind of shy and uneasy about that whole hard sell gospel by telling people all about the faith. But we were really strong on the idea of sharing our faith through faith in action, through outreach, just like in the way that this church is. You know, we have really strong outreach programs here because we believe in sharing the faith through our actions, through helping people in need. And you know, there were, in the Church of England, both at the national level and at local level, there were constant debates about this issue of evangelism. In our local clergy groups, we would get together and we would, you know, the evangelicals would say, you guys are not true to the gospel because you're not out there sharing your faith and proclaiming and preaching the word. And we would say, where's the beef in your faith? How are you showing your faith makes any difference to your actions? And because we were part of the same church, we couldn't ignore each other. We had to listen to each other. We couldn't just say, oh, it's those crazy evangelicals from that other church. We don't have to care about what they say. You know, we were the same church. And so we had to meet with each other. We had to listen to each other. We had to respect each other. I mean, it sounds like a lesson our nation could use about hearing right now in terms of our politics. You know, we were forced to listen to each other. And being forced to be in conversation and respect each other and take each other seriously began to have an impact on us. Because we in the traditional wing began to recognize that the evangelical accusation that we weren't even very good at proclaiming the word through, sharing the gospel through word. We actually really didn't want to do it. And the evangelicals, they heard that, and they recognized that there was something missing in their faith, that it wasn't all about me feeling good with Jesus, but actually God calls us as Christians to share our faith in deed. And they were able to, in one sense, recapture a strong vein within the evangelical wing of the Church of England from the 18th and 19th centuries, when the evangelicals, the Clapham sect, were leaders in social reform, in the abolition of the slave trade, in dealing with injustice and poverty in England. And they were able to reclaim that strong tradition. And then we in the traditional wing were left trying to figure out, so how do we do this proclamation by word in a way that wasn't crass, ineffectual, and in a way we might actually do? And I want to talk to you about some of the baby steps that we began to understand about how we as traditional Episcopalians do this. Because I think the first thing to say is all of us have been at the crass end of hard sell evangelism. We've all had someone trying to tell us all about Jesus, and feeling like we're not really being respected as a human being, but just as someone who a salesman wants to sell us something to. And I think that that's what we don't want to be. And so the number one thing, I think, for us as Episcopalians and for what God calls us to do is that, you know, we primarily, as human beings, are called to be in a respectful relationship with each other. We're called to love and to care for each other, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that is the most important thing that we do. And then there may be the opportunity at some point to actually share our faith, because if we are in a deep relationship and a real relationship with people, we share ourselves with them, don't we? We tell them, oh yeah, you know, I like watching the Red Sox, or I like painting little soldiers, or I love playing golf. You know, these are things I like to. I was really influenced by this thing or that thing. I love that. And we're interested in each other. And so at some point, if you're in a relationship with someone, a real relationship with someone, you should mention the fact that your faith is part of who you are. But I suspect that in the culture we live in, and I don't really understand whether it's because we were brought up to not talk about religion and politics, that I suspect that a lot of us here will go in a 50-mile detour rather than mention the fact that we go to church or that our faith is something important to us. And I guess that's the baby step I'm really making here, is that I don't believe that we need to be going out and preaching the gospel like a hard sell evangelist. But I do believe that if we're people of honesty and integrity, that we need to at least confess that we're church-going people. So when you go back to work on the weekend, after the weekend, and your buddy says, how was your weekend? It was great. I watched the Red Sox. I went to a great restaurant. I went to church. That's as simple as that. Simple as that. I went to church. What are you doing this week? Oh, I went to church. And someone was telling me this week that they had mentioned at some point in their work setting that they go to church. And so people now actually ask them on Monday, how was the sermon? And in fact, they even know Kat, Margaret, and my name. They say, who's preaching? What was it like? And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that Episcopal evangelism isn't beating people over the head. It's about confessing, admitting that we're church people, and then letting the Holy Spirit do the work, then allowing things to happen. Because if people know you and respect you, they're going to wonder, why do they go to church? What's going on there? What do they get out of that thing? And so here's the bit of homework for the summer, is that when that question is asked of you, so why do you do this? Why do you go to church? We need to have some sort of answer to that. And in particular, we need to know why our faith makes a difference to us. And evangelicals are really good at this spiritual practice of talking about and thinking about why their faith makes a difference to them. That's not something that we as Episcopalians, you know, do. You know, we don't, it's not a habit we've had. And one of the things that we began to see in the Church of England was that we needed to begin to the spiritual practice of talking to each other about our faith and helping ourselves to recognize why our faith makes a difference to us. I mean, for goodness sake, if we don't, as adults, know why our faith makes a difference to us, how can we even share that with our children? How can we even share it with our children if we are not clear as adults why our faith makes a difference to us? And it was one of the best things that I've experienced this year was going on our vestry retreat and having the retreat leader ask us to talk about a moment when we felt God was present in our lives. It was so moving to hear people talk about people, you know, who I'd done lots of business with in church, but to hear people talk about, you know, what difference God made in their lives, it's so powerful and so moving. And it's not about pushing your faith on someone else. It's about telling your story with integrity and authenticity. Amen.